It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're listening to the Sports Scramble Podcast, where four friends serve up a weekly plate of sports with a side of SEC bias.
SEC, SEC.
Now, here are your hosts, Chet, Jacob, Wade, and Tyler.
Let's go!
Welcome into this week's episode of the Sports Scramble Podcast, brought to you by Belly Up Sports. We've got the whole gang, all four of us. We could fill up a tee time on a golf course. It's been forever, I think, since we've had all four of us. Tyler and Wade held it down last week. Of course, I saw y'all in Dallas a couple weeks ago. How have you boys been?
Pretty good.
Yeah, we just recapped our golf last week a little bit, but Chet, why don't you offer your take on the weekend? I told him that you and I just can't get it done together, but that we had a good time.
That is true. Jacob, you and I get to change the narrative and the lies that Wade was spilling on last week's show.
Their side of the story now.
No, all right. I gave kudos to Jacob for his clutch pull out that I think changed the course of the entire
that
day.
That did.
Because I had a clutch putt, and then Jacob just erased it because he's just the golf wizard.
It was a blast. It was a joy. Golf trips are always fun. Shout out to Pecan Grove. That was the name of the course, right? Pecan Grove.
Pecan Hollow.
I don't know why I keep saying Pecan Grove.
That's probably just another one in Texas. I mean, like
probably so.
7,000.
I'm sure there's. Yeah. Really nice course. If you're down in the Plano area, you definitely should go check it out. They got a really good practice facility. They got that short course that Jacob and I were playing. It's like 20 to 40 yard holes. It's just, I mean, chipping. So we were having a little closest to the pin contest before the match started. I think there was a little bit of nerves at the beginning with the cameras, and we were trying to figure out how to let it work. And then we eventually just said, Lyndon, do your thing, run around behind us. We're just going to hit golf shots. And the righties, the trustees from Baton Rouge, we just can't get it done together. I don't know what it is. We had them in that first match until Jacob holes out from the bunker to push the hole, and then they win the next one, and it's over. And then the Pirate Golf, I think three holes in, we lost three clubs.
Yeah, our ship was sunk.
Yeah, so we just kind of gave them that one. And then we swapped and put Josh on my team from Rising to the Occasion. Check him out. And that's where the tide turned. We don't want to give anything away because the videos are still in the works. But maybe at that point, we had just said, I had already lost two matches and just said, whatever, I'm just letting it fly. And I played really good. So I think when we swapped teams, all four of us hit a fairway. We all looked great. I think we birdied that hole, won that hole. But no, it was a blast. Of course, it rained on Saturday. But what was the name of that pizza place? Do you remember?
Perry's Poorhouse.
Perry's Poorhouse. I think it was Perry's Poorhouse. I think it was like PPH. If you're in that area of Dallas, Wade, what's it called? It's a fancy, like, it's got the
Grandscape area, the Colony.
The Grandscape area. $2 beers. You got to check them out.
Even better, they have one in McKinney where my in-laws live. So I will be frequenting that one too.
$2 beers. Pizza was great. Escape room, we escaped. The six of us escaped
with time.
15 minutes left. We saved the world from a nuclear actually saved Chicago from a nuclear explosion. So you're welcome, Chi-Town. You got Caleb Williams because of us. So yeah, it was also
worth noting that we pretty much copied and pasted our Sports Scramble golf weekend from last year. We did golf on Friday, got rained out on Saturday, and played an escape room.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, to the date,
the only difference is we did not escape.
Yeah, last year we didn't escape.
And we drove an hour to the casino this time.
Yes, we didn't drive.
Yeah, that was.
The casino was a blast, too.
It was wild.
I think we can walk there now from here. Yeah. Jacob, how'd you think your golf game fared? We were talking. You're thinking about maybe playing some mini tour events around the area. How do you think it's faring right now?
It's good right now. Long game, I still think needs a little bit of work. Short game, though, is pretty good. I'm happy with the short game. And
yeah, I would say so. Holding out for bunkers, left and right.
For a half. But no, it's good. I think putting's coming around finally. I just gotta get off the tee. Like something's got to happen there. I haven't thought about taking 3-wood a lot of times, and I probably should have. Because a lot of respect, my 3-wood's longer than the driver, but
you just get that thing so spinny, man.
I don't know.
I'm no golf fitter, but there's probably something they can do to knock that spin down.
Yeah, I gotta somehow work with it. I've started to set a schedule together where I can devote more time to it now. So on Saturdays, kind of go in.
I'll take my partner back then.
I'm going to do a little 2-hour range session on Saturdays and then try to play on Mondays and Fridays. Go and play.
Must be nice with the new remote working situation you found yourself in, huh?
Yeah.
It's, wow, you're really balancing your time.
I've been open to the world of, I've been open to the world of what is it? Remote working. So
yes, total working.
I'm a little late to the party, but I'm here.
Welcome to the team. I've realized I play in these Wednesday night scrambles. They're 4-man scrambles, 9 holes. I need to stop doing that because honestly, I mean, you're out there hitting balls, which is good, and you're playing, but I feel like having to play my own ball is so much different than playing these scrambles every week. I went and played Friday, played my own ball. It was downpouring for the first couple of holes. It would have looked like us on the Tribune. I wish I brought those rain gloves. I did not.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a mess off the tee. Pulled it together, eagle to par 5, little shout out there. And got around the course for a decent score based on how the day was going. But I think this is the year, Jacob, if you're playing in these tour events and you need a caddy, call one of us or your guy. Well, I might have to fly, but we'll make it happen. Our caddy
for make you. It happen.
And what can you take a caddy?
Free tickets and caddy. So it depends on the events. I don't know if it's going to be this year. It just depends on when it falls. I want to play in the state AM. And of course, if you or like top 3 or 4, then you get to go to the U.S. Open qualifier.
Right.
But I definitely want to play in it, if not this year, but next year. It's just a matter of when it falls. So, yeah, I would need a caddy for that, obviously. And
I got you.
You know.
I'm your guy. It's all positive reinforcement. And I think we can map out a golf course and we can get around and go low. Tyler, you've been talking. You're getting back into the golf game. What's the plan here,
dude? I have not touched a club in like forever. So who knows when I'm gonna get back on? But I don't know.
It's the perfect time to start it back up. Spring has sprung. It's hot. It's cold. You never know what's gonna happen. As long as it doesn't rain.
It's gonna be summer in a couple of weeks. Jesus,
that is true. I mean, it's April 29th. It's about to be May. But all in all, it was a fun trip. We'll definitely have another one planned, probably for exactly 1 year from 2 weeks ago. I think that date just works out. We'll just keep doing it then. but jumping into sports world, draft was this weekend. Tyler killing it with the YouTube shorts. Hit the subscribe button. You see all his wonderful shorts. When I make a short, they just don't look great. When Tyler makes a short, they pop off. So, Tyler, what's your secret? Can you share it with us?
Pretty simple. You just have an idea. So like an event like this, like the NFL draft, I decided to just do one, do like a top five. So what I pretty much do on the YouTube.
You're almost exactly right too with your top five prediction.
Yeah, I was. They had one guy that would said like chalk on TikTok, whatever. And we always have haters anyway. I guess this is what we get whenever we're just counting up those numbers. Yep. Pretty simple, you get a couple of clips off of YouTube and you throw it in there for a 20-second film and boom, there it is. And you add it on with some auto captions. I've learned that auto captions definitely do the job on YouTube Shorts now.
People like to
be able to read and hear it. I don't know what it is, but if you're watching them like at work or class or something, maybe that's the key.
Yeah. I told you all the trip. I'm a big caption guy, like closed caption when I'm watching Netflix or whatever, because I was watching Narcos and it was all in Spanish, so you had to read the captions to understand what was being said.
Fair enough.
And of course we watched both Borat movies, so yeah, that
you need the captions there,
right? Yeah, the captions for that, Tyler, you would have loved it. We each night we sat upstairs, we played a little pool.
No wonder why y'all were
the accents back, baby.
No wonder why y'all were bringing up Borat during the live stream. I was like, these freaking bastards bringing up Borat again on a trip. It's like a tradition with these fools.
King of the castle, king of the castle.
It's been a while. I can't get it out of my head.
I know. But no, 2024 NFL draft, shocking. Caleb Williams, number one pick. I think we all saw that coming. Is he Chicago's savior? Tyler, what do you think?
I think definitely the weapons are there, with Romo Dunze. I think that was a great pick there. He fell at number 9. We'll talk about another pick, what Atlanta did. That was head-scratching for sure what they did. They also have Keenan Allen. He's coming off one of his best performances. And then they also have DJ Moore, too, a guy that no one really talks about. And you have a really good tight end, too, with Cole Kmet. So he has all the pieces. So I think that Caleb Williams, if you're looking at quarterback wise, I think that he's definitely got the roster built for success. And the defense got stronger in the offseason too. It's definitely the NFC North. If you really look at it, I think that the Lions are still the team to beat. Vikings, I think that they're probably a couple of years away with JJ McCarthy. And then with Jordan Love and the Packers, they added Josh Jacobs in the offseason. So we'll see how that plays out. I think that the Bears, they definitely definitely the offense is better than it was a year ago. So I think that Caleb Williams, as long as he plays like he did at least in his first year at USC and his first year at Oklahoma, he'll do fine.
Didn't they also sign DeAndre Swift?
They did.
Yeah, so I saw a statement made today that the Bears have a Ferrari and they're handing Caleb Williams the keys. I think that might be an accurate statement, but I think their over-under is set at like 9 wins already. Like, come on. Let's give the guy – I mean, I guess that's 500 in the NFL, right? One game over
500. That division's kind of wide open, right? I mean, the Detroit Lions made a big leap, but by no means have they like ran away with the division, I don't think. Can the Packers, kind of were a young upstart team last year, can they continue the momentum? So – Chicago could jump in there. I mean, Minnesota could fall to fourth in the division real fast.
J.J. McCarthy's got big shoes to fill. I think we all kind of knew they were going to take him. But it's still just is like, how do you think that fares for like Justin Jefferson fantasy-wise next year?
Not good.
I mean, he's going to get the ball and he's going to catch it, but – I feel like he's going to have to rely on a lot of those acrobatic catches. And I think more of the impact will be that the Vikings will be playing from behind a lot.
Yeah.
So they will be throwing the ball a lot, which is great for Jefferson, but they also might just be trying to force it to him. I think he'll still be a very reliable top three option, but I wouldn't say he's the consensus number one. I would look at some guys that have more veteran quarterback situations. We say it every year, Jamar Chase. I don't know if he's going to make that.
Look at us. We're not even in May, and we're already talking about fantasy football. Like, fantasy football quarter won't start in July, so can we, like, hold this?
I play year-round, baby. Dynasty.
All right, yeah. You always talk about dynasty, so.
The
That's my favorite time.
We got to talk surprise pick with Michael Penix being drafted by the Falcons. Was that the quote-unquote, maybe you look back at when Green Bay drafted Jordan Love while Aaron Rodgers was still there, and everybody's like, what are they doing? But now look at them. It's like, hey, they don't look so stupid, right? So,
But Kirk Cousins' situation is a little different. I mean, they just signed him to a four-year deal. I mean, it's not like he's in his he's starting the final year of a four-year contract. I mean, they just signed him to a four-year deal. So it's a big waste of money. They're investing in the future, which, you know, I just don't think is smart right now. In today's NFL, I think that Penix will ultimately be a guy that either sits the bench or he's in a blockbuster trade for somebody with the Falcons. I mean, there could be a chance there. And the Falcons are really just throwing all their eggs in to see if what they can get. I mean, the NFC South, as we all know, is pretty pitiful. So it's anybody's shot there for who's going to pull it out besides maybe Carolina. Sorry, Wade. But it's could be anybody's game. So, I mean, they're just preparing for the future. And think about all the quarterback injuries that we had last season, too. And all the guys that went down. So Penix might have a chance. I mean, if Cousins goes down, he's probably the next guy up.
He's also coming off his, you know, Achilles injury. Not a great look if you're management signing this guy for $190 million and saying, oh, we're also going to draft, you know, the Heisman front runner or Heisman runner up to kind of push you a little bit. He's probably sitting around like, okay, great. You spoke of the NFC South. Right when I was ready to just write them off and be done with them and never cheer for the Saints again, they go inside my boy, Spencer Rattler.
Is he your boy?
I like him. I just, it's just something about him. I hated him when, you know, LSU played him, obviously. But I think it's a good pick in fifth round. What, pick 150? Like,
that was good value.
You know, freaking Nathan Peterman is not going to do anything. You might as well just leave him on scout team to practice the DB's interceptions, right?
Him and Kellen Mond.
Kellen Mond. I mean, all he's going to do is he's going to take a knee at the 50-yard line. He's not going to be called down, right? He's going to run around and go seven overtimes. And then what's his face? Jake Haner, who weighs 110 pounds. He's got to take PEDs every day just to get up to 130 pounds. He's going to get broken in half the first sack he takes, right? So I think Spencer Rattler, out of those four or three quarterbacks I just named, has the highest upside to take Derek Carr's job about week six of the season after they fired Dennis Allen, and Carr sits the bench for the rest of his contract. And it's the Spencer Rattler show. That's just my take. I don't know, Tyler, Wade, you Saints fans, Jacob, you're Patriots. We can talk about that QB situation. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's some upside with it. I mean, he showed some spurts in college. I mean, he wasn't like all this like flashy quarterback that you saw in every game. Like the Tennessee game is his peak game that he had in college. But yeah, the arm talent is definitely there. We'll see. Like Chet mentioned, I don't think that it's going to be like a start away situation. I think that Derek Carr will probably get it. But, you know, we saw injuries with Derek Carr. So, you know, we could see Spencer Rattler come in. You don't have Jameis Winston anymore. And, like, who else do you trust? Like, you don't trust Jake Haner. You're not going to trust Nathan Peterman to step up for you. So, I think that this is definitely a luxury. You definitely needed a good, valuable quarterback. So I think this, you know, well, I'm not going to say it was a steal of the draft or anything. I don't think that he's going to have like a very like Hall of Fame career. But I do think what you lost with Jameis Winston, this is just a nice thing to have coming off the bench.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking of quarterbacks, Futch, the Patriots drafting Drake May at third and then grabbing Joe Milton later in the draft. Wade, you weren't a huge fan of that decision just because of kind of the message it sends to Drake May, right?
Yeah. I would have held off there for sure, because, like, you're drafting a guy at best that – could be like a project quarterback to be your backup, but he also has the strongest arm in the draft class. So on the off chance that you hit with him, you kind of enter that Kirk Cousins RG3 situation where the guy drafted later becomes your quarterback. I think that's a very rare situation. And at the end of the day, if he does that, then you have a starter one way or another, kind of like Brock Purdy and Trey Lance too. But I would have probably stayed away from that and kind of taken the approach that Washington took. If you're going to do it, they added Sam Hartman after the draft, kind of a guy that has a higher upside and, or I mean, probably a higher, probably a lower ceiling, but a higher floor. Like, you know, he's going to be a decent pro style quarterback, but you don't have to worry about him like
competing rushing, for the job.
Jaden Daniels along or something. Like, he'd be a good compliment.
I think it's a good, the Washington move, I think, was smart because based on what we've seen from Jaden Daniels just at LSU, the man likes to take take shots over the middle when he's scrambling. So in the off chance, knock on wood, hope this doesn't happen, that he gets hurt, knocked out of a game, you've got, like you said, a competent quarterback in Sam Hartman, which, by the way, what happened to him? He was like a Heisman favorite at the beginning of the season.
And he's old and teams knew they could get him for cheap in the undrafted free agency.
Yeah, no, he kind of just fell off there. I was surprised to see like that he didn't even get drafted and that they picked him up in free agency. But, Jacob, back to your Patriots. How are you feeling about the next Tom Brady?
There will never be another Tom Brady. I'm sorry, guys. But I actually
– dynasty renewed now. Is this the new new takeover?
No, that – there won't be another dynasty for a long time. I like the move taking Milton and May, and here's why. The Patriots have this situation there where they really don't have a go-to quarterback. I mean, you had Mac Jones, who ultimately didn't pan out, and he's, you know, was never the answer.
Jacksonville now, right?
Yep.
He's holding a clipboard.
Right behind Trevor.
You know, you had Bailey Zappe holding it down for a while, and Bailey Zappe's not the answer either in New England. I think we all know that. So they're really, I think, investing in the fact that they're going to give both guys a shot. I think going in, I think everybody knows that Drake May is going to be the starter. As far as being able to run different schemes, different plays, I mean, Milton has legs versus – Drake May, and I think that gives some upside there. Because I mean, the Patriots have never really had the opportunity to have a running quarterback, and I think that that gives them an option there if they want to do it. Mm-hmm. May's definitely the starter though, but I like them taking both of them, and I think they actually drafted really well. I was really surprised at how well the Patriots drafted. They went offense heavy. And they had to. I mean, based off of last season, one of the worst teams in offensive production all year, I think they really answered a lot of questions there. You know, big pickups from Florida State, Bell, tight end, which is going to be a really, really good one to learn under Hunter Henry. Jalen Polk was a big one from Washington. They took him pretty early. But a big receiver, I think, that can go and get a ball, and they really need a guy who they can rely on because they just don't have anybody right now. So I think they probably could have taken a running back. That was the only thing that I thought was interesting, that they didn't take a running back because they've struggled.
They still have Stevenson there, huh?
Or did it, yeah, he is. Yeah. He had a rough year last year, and they just kind of couldn't
figure out. They're just a bad offense, though. Well, they cannot move the ball like anything.
Yeah. Tyler, who do you think – what team won the draft this year? Who's your
– I think my winner has got to be the Washington Commanders. So I think that this team, like, nailed it with their first four picks. I mean, Jaden Daniels, bias aside, I think he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in this draft.
Next time, Brody.
And fantasy-wise, too, especially with his dual-threat capabilities. You know, you really look at the receivers, it's going to be led by Terry McLaurin and then Jahan Dotson. I think that Jahan Dotson – I pinned him as his breakout wide receiver year being last year. He didn't have that great of a year. It's got to be this year for this team to really take it to the next level. And then getting a guy like Johnny Newton I think that's first round talent that you got in the second round. Then the third round, cornerback out of Michigan. I think that he's one of the best cover corners in this draft. Then you got the tight end out of Kansas State, who's pretty much built like a fullback. I think that Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State's a really good pick. So I got to give an A-plus to the Washington Commanders. They nailed it with their first four picks. And, you know, they also got Luke McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey's brother wide receiver out of Rice. So I think Washington Commanders definitely got better, especially on the offensive side of the ball and defense too.
I feel bad for the person who's playing fantasy for the first time next year, just sees McCaffrey and hits draft like round one, and it's Luke McCaffrey. Well, and
should have that problem because Christian will be the number one overall. And Luke
but
McCaffrey,
you know it's going to happen. Somebody's going to take him first time. They're going to draft
like, ooh, I'm getting Christian McCaffrey. Oh, wait, that's Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah. Wade, what would you grade the Saints draft?
Honestly, I think it was one of the better ones, probably a top five draft. So I'd give it an A. I thought they met all the needs, got what some people thought was the third best offensive lineman in the draft, didn't have to move up to get him, weren't tempted by, you know, potentially Brock Bowers slipping there. And then they ended up getting a cornerback that has first-round potential in the second round, same situation, just kind of fell in their lap. So I like it for sure. We'll have to see how these guys pan out. But I maybe would have added one more impact receiver, and that's about it. But I think overall it was really good.
Didn't they draft a guy, I think, from Pittsburgh?
Bud Means.
Yeah. Did y'all hear how Kool-Aid got his name?
I did.
Donut.
So when he came out the womb, his grandma said he was smiling like the Kool-Aid man, and that's what they named him. So there you go. That's a heck of a name. My last tip on the draft before we kind of move on, Keon Coleman to Buffalo. Love it or hate it. I love it. I think it's perfect fit. Mm-hmm. Replaces Stephon Diggs, really, because we saw at Florida State. I mean, the man can spread the field, and he's great in terms of the hands department. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I think that's a great fit. You lose Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, and you're pretty much left with, like, really no receivers. So I think that Keon Coleman, we saw him at Florida State this year. He was really good. But I think another guy that I love the landing spot was Brian Thomas heading over to Jacksonville. Yes. No longer Calvin Ridley there. Zay Jones is on his last contract deal. So I think that's a guy that Trevor Lawrence has been waiting for. He's a 4-3-4 guy, can really take the top off the defense. So I really like Brian Thomas this year. You know what? Early fantasy, I like him as in fantasy breakout too.
Okay, that's a good prediction. I like Brian Thomas to Jacksonville. I don't love it from Malik Nabers to the Giants. You can tell he's already not like thrilled with Danny Dime.
He needs to grow up. You made it to the NFL. You're not going to land in a top landing spot if you're getting top five money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Chargers taking an offensive lineman, Saints taking an offensive lineman. The analogy I heard, and it's actually fitting, is like when your washing machine goes out and you have to buy a new one. Like,
that's true.
New washing machine.
You're thankful for it.
You're thankful for it.
It's not a flat screen TV.
Yeah, you're not super excited about it, but you need it and you gotta have it. Yeah. Same with all offensive linemen. So, let's talk college football for a second. Or I guess any parting thoughts on the draft until next year?
So all long right. for now. See you in Green Bay.
Is that where it's at next year? Green Bay?
Gonna be okay. Like, I gotta, like, kudos to Detroit for coming out over 700,000.
That was
fans.
Wild.
Like, that was insane. Like, I hope that the city got a lot of love this weekend. So hopefully they get it back in Detroit.
I don't think they have room for 700,000 people in Green Bay. So they better get some boats.
Yeah, we'll see.
Ball city, so I think they're going to go after that record. I don't think they're going to break it, though. Detroit, that's going to be hard to beat.
So, college football news. New information on EA Sports. Drum roll, please. Jacob, can I get a drum roll? A little There you go. Cover athletes. There will be five different cover athletes, right? Five? Did I read that?
I don't think so. There's going to be three.
Okay, three different cover athletes. Who do we think? I think Shedeur Sanders is one of them.
Current? That's my.
Well, I do it. I'll I pull up the article here, so I'll explain it before we do our guessing. So there's going to be multiple cover athletes. There's going to be three. So there's probably going to be like three different editions. They'll have like the standard and whatever.
They'll have the Xbox One edition, the Xbox Series X edition. And
they're not going
to. Won't be an Xbox One.
Yeah, there won't be an Xbox. It's just on S, X, and all that jazz. But each cover athlete is a current college football player who plays in a different power conference. So there's not going to be like any coaches. Like there's some speculation that Nick Saban retiring that he could be on the cover. There's not going to be any coaches. Could it be like past previous winners like Jaden Daniels? He's not going to be on the cover either. No mascots either. It's all going to be current players.
Dang it. I wanted all the mascots.
All going to be current.
That would have been wild.
It would have been.
So I think Shedeur Sanders is one of them. I feel like that's ever. There's,
you
I mean,
go
he's
down
already.
Line, SEC will probably be Quinn Ewers.
Really?
I can see that.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said what's it, Manning. That's when you.
Yeah, let's
said
just go
Ewers,
down the power line here. Like
Manning,
SEC. Okay. I my vote is Quinn Ewers for SEC.
I mean, who else? I feel like they're going to be quarterbacks.
Carson Beck could be another one. I mean, obviously Harold Perkins could be one for defensive side, but.
But no, I feel like the splashy move is the quarterback, right? It's usually a quarterback.
I don't think it's going to be all three quarterbacks.
They'll have one quarterback.
So I think it's going to be
a quarterback, running back, and a defensive line. And a
I think it's going to be Ewers for SEC.
Okay. What running backs that stand out?
I mean, I think that another guy could be Luther Burden out of Missouri. I think that he could get some recognition.
She's not a big enough
program. I like the pick. But I
come
tend
on,
to agree with Wade. Brand wise, it's not big enough.
I mean, Quinshon Judkins is the best running back coming back, but he just transferred. So that would really encapsulate college football for you right there. He's never even worn an Ohio State jersey, but put him in one for the cover.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening either. Maybe a Michigan defensive player.
But who? I mean, Michigan doesn't have any, like...
I think Michigan, if they're going to be anybody from Michigan, it's going to be Donovan Edwards.
Connor Stallions. Yeah. Connor Stallions.
Donovan Edwards. I think, I think if you want to go Ohio State, Caleb Downs, you just transfer there from Alabama.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who really knows who it is?
I'm just like am I gonna be the only one putting out names? Like, come on.
I would I would die if they put a kicker on the cover.
Here's where I'm at though. I don't even know any college players because they all move around and I can't get invested with the teams.
I think Shedeur Sanders is probably the only lock.
I think him or Travis Hunter gotta be a lock.
Oh, Travis Hunter. Yeah,
I would probably put Travis Hunter over Shedeur.
I think
Shedeur sells.
That is true. Shedeur does sell.
I mean, it's going to be somebody from Colorado out of the Big 12. So the Big 12 is already like – I mean, another Big 12 guy could be Ollie Gordon, but I feel like since Colorado's joining the Big 12, it's got to be at least Travis Hunter or Shedeur because, like, you put Shedeur on the cover, like – I mean, this game's going to sell anyways.
Could it be potentially guys from teams that are all transferring in, like, to different conferences, like moving to new conferences? So Colorado
Like
would be
a guy from SMU.
You could have a guy. Yeah, you could have a guy like USC, Oregon,
Texas
UCLA,
makes sense. Tyler's pick for
Texas
Ewers.
Makes sense. Washington.
It's just
really
a big brand name, so.
So, all right, let's think. The four teams that were in the college football playoff, Pac-12 no more, which is Big Ten.
Rip.
Until we awaken
them again in our customized dynasty.
Shoot, they're all Big Ten and SEC. But I feel like maybe they have somebody from ACC. Is there anybody that stands out at like Clemson or Florida State?
Not really. I mean,
DJU, baby.
Is it potentially
Cam Ward?
What's his name? From
it could be Cam Ward.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I feel like the ACC, like, there's no way that they get a cover athlete. It's got to be somebody from the Big 12, SEC, and Big 10.
I I think that's the right. I think it's somebody from
Colorado. It's going to be somebody from Colorado. We know it's either going to be Travis or Sanders. SEC will probably be either Carson Beck or Quinn Ewers.
Milroe. Well, we've had would an he technically be the running back in the last.
Guy? I mean, Big Ten is going to be somebody from Michigan.
Yeah, I think it's got
to
be.
I mean, think about it. You got to throw out, and you have to throw out schools that have been on the cover in the past as well. So think about
last one was freaking Denard Robinson out of Michigan. So.
Yeah. So
hey, Alabama and Texas sell games.
I feel like you got to put somebody on Michigan. I mean, they just won the national championship.
No, I think it's somebody from Michigan, either Quinn Ewers or Carson Beck.
Probably. I feel like we are going to get at least one surprise, though. It's going to be like a name, like, what are they doing on this cover? It's like
Garrett Nussmeier, baby.
Might be whoever asked for the least amount of money. They might bid this
out. It's not going to be Arch Manning because his butt's not even in the game.
See, if it was me, I would have put – if you're going to do, like, three or four editions – I would have done four editions, and you would have had an edition for each Power Four conference, and you basically could have designed it like you could have did some sort of like landmark design with them, with all the different schools or mascots or their
Sports on the cover.
You just got his Heisman back.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
He was on the cover in 2006.
Restore the tradition.
That was a rumor that they were doing like a Heisman edition. It was going to be Jaden Daniels, which I mean, think they should
might do. Like, I don't know what the editions are going to be, but.
Also, let's be real. You don't buy games anymore. They're all digital. So who's on the cover?
I mean, like, they're going to be on the cover digitally. Like,
still gotta click on
whenever you load it up.
There's three of them.
It might be the loading screen, too. Like, the loading screen will probably be whoever, like, edition that you buy, probably.
Well, we'll find out here in a couple weeks because full reveal is coming out in May. And then I think a game comes out July, June?
Mid-July is the speculation. We haven't really.
So we're going to take about a three-week break from the podcast in mid-July because we're not going to be doing anything else besides playing this college football game. We'll be doing the Twitch stuff. We'll be putting out live streams of videos. We'll kind of have a gaming playlist on the YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe. Yep. But I think we're all in agreement. Somebody from Colorado, probably Texas or Alabama or Georgia for the SEC, and then Michigan, Big Ten. I think that's if you got a guess, drop it in the comments on who you think will be the cover athlete. There's no wrong answer because nobody knows. It could be a mascot, even though they said it wouldn't. What if they just switched it on us and they made it one?
The myth.
But I think it should be the tree. The tree is a disrespectful.
Put the tree in the orange.
I would have said yes. I would have said put Stanford's tree on there, and then put Syracuse with the orange on there, and then like mix it up and put. You need some like weird mascot, or like put the duck UAV from Oregon. Put the Oregon duck on it.
Yeah, the Oregon duck. Speaking of mascots, our mascot for the show, who got that dog in him? Here we go. Who got that dog in him? Everyone's favorite segment every week. Tyler?
All right, I guess I'll go to the golfing world. Just had the Zurich Classic down there in Avondale, Louisiana, at the TPC. There's a lot of alligators.
Yes,
at
there
that
are.
Golf course. I mean, golly. But I'm going to go with the winners, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry. Rory finally got his first win of the year, so congratulations to him. 25th PGA Tour win. Lowry got his first as well this year, his third overall PGA Tour win. Be two guys I have never heard of in my life in a playoff, but you know what? They got the trophy.
Hey, they also got some singing skills. Saw the video of Rory tearing up birds. Wade, who's your pick for dog of the week?
Oh, let's see. I'm going to give it to Chicago Bears GM Ryan Poles. I think that they nailed the draft themselves. And they got their guy in Williams, obviously. We talked about it. They got Rome Odunze at pick number 9, which was the pick right after the infamous Falcons selection of Michael Penix Falcons were rumored to maybe be in on Odunze to be their new wide receiver one. And when asked about it, Poles just laughed at the pick. And it, I just thought it was interesting that we saw a couple GMs like Poles not hold back on their feelings. We saw Indianapolis's GM clap back at some reporters. So these guys are, they get fiery over their picks. So Ryan Poles gets it for me.
Sean Payton thinks that he like manipulated the draft.
Narcissist of the week.
Suck it, Sean. We hate you now. Jacob.
I have both picks.
Your resident hockey fan over here, I'm going to take a homer pick. The Boston Bruins are my dog of the week. The Toronto Maple Leafs will probably never win another playoff series ever. Bruins are up 3-1 right now, but specifically Brad Marchand is my dog of the week. Three goals, two assists, and 5 points in the last two games. Set the franchise record for the most playoff goals for a franchise with 56. And the bees are rolling.
I like it. You, the, were they going for the Stanley Cup this year?
I sure hope so.
I think two Boston teams will win trophy. It will be the Celtics and the Bruins.
Really? Yep. Really? Not the Red Sox.
Not the Red Sox. Well, they did have a good win last night.
They did. They did.
The Astros are 2-0.
I was kind of sweating it over there with freaking Durant. If he got one more base hit, I was going to tie with Wade in my fantasy.
Crazy.
Hey, Durant, man.
He got that trip. I was like, oh, here we go again.
So Neil's got a pick for us. Ryan Truex, we're winning back-to-back Dover races despite being part-time in both seasons, the Xfinity race. Mine is on in basketball. The Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, whatever you want to call him. They'll call him the pretty flight attendant to send back KD and the Suns to Cancun. I mean, the man's giving them the crotch chop after the game. 40
That's
points.
That's the one I was trying to remember. I couldn't remember a good one.
He, that was just the first Timberwolves. Is it the first Timberwolves playoff series victory or first series sweep?
Series sweep.
Yeah. So not talking to you, Siri. Nope. Go away. Yeah, we got to be careful how we say that. 40 points last night just absolutely dominated the Suns. The posters, I mean, they had a side-by-side of his dunk with MJ's dunk. You can't tell me that's not his dad. I think that's secretly his father. Just total dog in him with how he put away the Suns. And speaking of the Suns and the playoffs, let's talk about it. Timberwolves swept the Suns. Rest of the first round is still going live. Looking, the Celtics are up big. What is that? 13 points on the Heat in the fourth quarter. They're up 2-1 on the series. Thunder Pelicans, 1-point game at halftime. Tyler, Thunder lead the series 3-0. Do they get it done tonight, or do the Pelicans extend it?
They're gonna go to Galveston.
They go to Galveston. Yikes. Pissing in that dirty water.
Yeah. Charles, hey, I've been to Galveston, brother. It's dirty. Oh, it's dirtier than New Orleans. I can tell you that.
Funny.
Oh my gosh.
Thoughts? Do the Lakers hang on tonight, or
no? The Nuggets complete that. There's no way that they win in Denver.
I disagree. I think LeBron has one of his legacy games. Everybody creams their khakis over LeBron James, and then they lose in Game 6.
I don't think they make it. There's no way.
I think the Nuggets like wipe the floor away from them.
Okay. Wade, what do you think? Lakers, Nuggets?
I mean, yeah, I think the Nuggets are probably going to play the Celtics for the title. So chalk.
I don't think it's going to be the Nuggets.
I like that, Wade.
Yeah, I mean, it's we got the – oh, I forgot about the East. I was talking about the West. 76ers and Knicks tomorrow night. The Knicks are up 3-1, and I think they maintain that.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my New York pick.
That's over. They ain't losing an MSG.
Cavs Magic tied at 2 apiece. This one's in Cleveland.
Believe it or not, I
feel like they've been
the Magic
for 3 weeks.
I like the Magic. I like Orlando for some reason.
It wasn't looking good going down 2-0, but they really bounced back well.
They bounced back. Momentum's killer.
in the confines of Mickey Mouse Land. You know, they get the dub.
Indiana putting away the Bucks possibly.
Yeah, well, the Bucks don't have Giannis or Damian Lillard, so they're done. Like, there's no way Pacers will win.
Welcome to being a Pelicans fan when your stars just.
I think that series of the has been the Mavs and the Clippers. The Clippers had a 31-point lead yesterday and they almost lost it, but they were able to bounce back. So I think that the winner of that series though makes it all the way to the finals.
Don't you find it funny though, like that all season long, the non-competitive conference being the East versus the competitive conference being the West, and now it's like flipped in the playoffs.
Yeah,
we have the East is like chaos and then the West is pretty chalk.
Yeah, 3-0.
That's wild. That's crazy.
Yeah, we will see how that plays out. I don't even remember who I said to win. Did we give championship picks?
We did. I feel like we did like 2 weeks ago.
I know. I feel like it was forever ago. The NBA playoffs just take
forever.
They usually just tune in for like
a game. It won't end until June.
What?
Yeah, I think like the finals.
They do seven games for 1 versus 8, and then they added a play-in tournament. Whereas MLB, like,
very long
people after one game.
The MLB actually did the postseason right.
Yep.
They still can't figure out the regular season, but
can't figure out their uniform.
The postseason they've had. I think that all the major sports need to adopt, with the exception of football, because that would kill people. But
the NFL does it right.
but I think that I like baseball, hockey, basketball, like, can all adopt the whole 3-5-7. Like, I think if you want to do 3-5-7, do it that way.
3-5-7. I missed the single game elimination though. Those were fun. It was just kind of like crazy. But I like the chaos. But the 3-5-7, I think, is how it should be in basketball. The 1 versus 8 seed should be a 3-game series, next one of 5, then your conference championship.
Might as well just have a first round bye.
Well, it shouldn't take till the middle of freaking June for the playoffs to be over.
Like, if they're the one seed, they should get the advantage of being able to play 2 of the 3 games at home.
Exactly.
You know.
Honestly, maybe make all 3 games at home for the one seed.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Bye.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And if you can't win all 3 at home, then you shouldn't be the one seed.
Simple like hockey is so drawn out. Like they've.
Yeah. Didn't the hockey playoffs start like last year?
No. They started a couple weeks ago, but like they go on forever too. And I think they finish towards the end or middle of June. It takes a long time. But that's because every single series is 7 games. Done
by the time they
I mean, I know. It's crazy. I don't understand it. Like, it's wild. But the problem is like the Bruins and the Maple Leafs have played 2 games in 5 days. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
they
have like 2 off days. Like, go ahead and play.
They have
2
off days, and they're not even traveling. Both teams are playing in the same place again.
Hey, get your travel day. Get back on the court. Let's finish up the series.
That's crazy.
I mean, hockey is a pretty physical sport, especially playoff hockey. You got dudes like killing each other out there.
Yeah, suck it up, Buttercup.
They don't care. They just punch each other in the face. That's one thing that I will say.
You get paid millions of dollars, so get back on the ice.
I don't like the one thing about hockey being that the playoffs used to be like fights after fight after fight, like in the playoffs, and now it's not like that anymore. There's a little pushing and shoving, but not. As much.
No penalty shootouts. It's just duke it out. Each person on the team, whoever's left standing, that's your winner. That's how it should be. I think that would make for great TV. I would watch the playoff hockey games if that was.
Yeah. Speaking of hockey, the Florida Panthers just won the series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that was a 4-1, almost a sweep.
Almost a sweep.
But I love how they throw rats on the ice at the end of the game. They throw rats on the ice.
Well, the Predators, they were freaking chugging beers out of catfish in yesterday's game.
That's disgusting. I love it. That's so gross. That's awful.
They're probably going to lose, though. The Canucks are up 3-1. So that series is over.
They have the ads that they start running for hockey, like playoff season, where like, they're hilarious, but they have one with like the Colorado Avalanche and this guy and girl are dating or whatever, and like the Avalanche couldn't win a series, and they couldn't win in the playoffs forever, And finally, like when they were apart in separate towns, they finally won. They're like, they only win when we're not together. And so they ended up breaking up, and they're sitting at the game, but with different people. And I said, yeah. So like hockey makes you do crazy things. That's pretty funny.
Did y'all see the clip? What's his name? Taylor Lauren?
Lawan?
Yeah, he's with the Boston
Sports Podcast. His freaking daughter chugging the water.
He chugs the beer, and then his daughter grabs her water, and she's like chugging
that's
the water.
That's a proud dad moment right there.
Yeah, that was cool. I don't know who's even in the NHL hockey in the hockey playoffs. So I'm not even going to attempt to pick a winner, but maybe next week after we kind of get through
once
round
we get
one,
the second round,
do some research.
Yeah, I'll do some research.
I already know mine.
Hidden
be the
gems.
Bruins, and who else cares else?
Hidden gems. Tyler, you got one for us?
It's going to be a pretty quick one. After all of this crap that the MLB has gotten about the uniforms, they're finally doing something about it, but they're going to wait till next season. So whatever.
Wait,
so I guess
what?
We got to wait. But I think
they got to produce them.
Yeah, they got to produce them, you know. You got to produce them.
Fanatics, dude. Just get
them over,
that,
put
get
them on
rolling.
The boat, you know.
Hey now.
But I think a bonus one, though, today, the Devil Rays, they unleashed another badass uniform. So, yeah, the Devil Rays keep on going with that uniform connection.
So the City Connect is not till next year?
No.
No, the City Connect ones are coming out, but they're going to revert back to the old materials and fonts
and
stuff.
So it's not going to look like you can see their freaking underwear. From
you can't see
their pants.
Through their pants.
You only get a show for one more season.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
You only get to see the junk in the trunk for at least one more season.
More like the junk in the front, dude. What are you talking
about? Some guys might wear it again. You know, they might like those tight pants.
Yeah.
More power to them.
What do you got all for us, Wade? Hidden gem.
This guy almost won my dog of the week, so I'll take a moment to highlight it. Here in the hidden gem and why I did not give it to him, Louisville's Dylan Hoy was playing against Clemson, and he hit a tape measure home run, and he proceeded to taunt his way around the base path, which is very much dog of the week material. However, in the next game on Sunday, Clemson tried to peg him because, you know, baseball players getting a tizzy over everything. The guy missed by like 10 feet. It was horrible. So that was just taking away from the moment. And then the Louisville guy, Hoy, had the nerve to look at the ump like, oh, my gosh, poor old me. You got to back the talk if you're going to do it. So, no, you don't get dog of the week. You get mentioned on my hidden gem for being a bitch.
For being a bitch. I like
we that. Need to do, like, change hidden gem for just team. Being a bitch.
He didn't Clemson win that series?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Louisville sucks,
wasn't,
so
wasn't he taunting when they were down, like, 6 runs? Or was that the first game when they ended up beating them? Because Louisville took a game. And I remember watching the highlight and looking at the score and it being like 7-2 Clemson. I was like, why is this guy taunting, pimping his home run when you're getting the doors blown off of you? But maybe it was.
Oh my gosh. There's one, Sam Houston State and Louisiana Tech. The guy hit a home run and he didn't touch home plate, and the home run got canceled out.
Did you see the one? I think it's
South Carolina had one too. South Carolina had a home run, and he passed the dude on first. Yeah. So like first base guy was like, "What are you doing? Like the first, like what is the first base guy doing? Like dude, it's a freaking home run. Freaking move your ass to freaking home."
Yeah, he gets past rounding the bases, so now Petrie's out. It's only a 2-run.
And they let up a stolen base at home because the pitcher fell off the mound. So, yeah, there's a lot of comedy of errors in college baseball. So, yeah, I couldn't give him dog of the week. I was when I saw the first clip, and then I saw the second clip, and I was like, no, can't do it.
Butch, what do you got, hidden gem?
Hidden gem, I think, was the draft show. I watched the Pat McAfee draft show, and watching Bill Belichick sit on a panel was the funniest thing of all time. I watch him give analysis, and I think he repeated himself at least 30 times. And he's like, that guy just, he's a big dude. He's a big guy.
He's
like,
a big dude.
He just, it'd be like, he just goes up there and gets it. It was like, and I'm just like, Bill's just running out of words like to talk about. It was hilarious.
How do you feel, you know, if he was still your head coach, the Patriots would have selected Ladd McConkey for sure.
Probably.
I mean, that's a Patriots.
Brock Bowers. Should have taken Brock Bowers.
Yeah. My hidden gem involves the Texas A&M and Georgia series, and y'all might be thinking about the pitcher, the Georgia pitcher putting the sticky stuff on his glove.
Not very hidden.
Not a hidden gem. Mine is in game two, when it was like 45-mile-an-hour winds blowing out to center field, Georgia puts up a 9 spot at the top of the first inning. How does A&M respond? They proceed to score 19 straight and run rule. Won the game 19-9.
Like a beer league softball game.
What was it, like 9-9 after the first?
Yeah, after that, it was 9-8.
Seven? Oh, yeah.
They scored 17 runs in the first inning between the two of them combined. And then Texas A&M continued to steamroll them and win 19-9, proving why they're the number one team in the country.
Yeah, they're a pretty good, damn good baseball team.
Yeah, which gets us into the college baseball talk. Of course, that Texas A&M wins the series against Georgia. Florida State got a series win over Duke. LSU, back-to-back series wins. I have not watched a game until last week with the Missouri series. I watched the Sunday game. And they're pulling me back in, Tyler. They are pull. I watched Gage jump pitch. I watched Luke Holman pitch. And I watched the series win. And I watched about half the game yesterday and had to turn it off because I was so frustrated. Can LSU – I think they're in the SEC tournament now. Can they sneak into the – I think they'll get into the NCAA tournament. They're definitely not hosting. I think that's out the window. But maybe they could be a 2 or 3 seed and make a deep run if they put some things together. What do y'all think?
I don't see it. I think that they're too far away, especially with a ball club like Texas A&M coming into your – I think that where Jay Johnson screwed up in game three was starting Kate Anderson. You should have just started your best guy that you have, Griffin Herring. But that's just my opinion. But you really look at it, they have 7 wins. Realistically, you got to get to 14 wins to feel really good about yourself. 13, if you get to 13 before the SEC tournament, you probably need to win at least 1 or 2 more. So if you really do the math, you know, you got A&M, you got to take at least 1 or win the series. I don't see them winning the series. I think that they maybe at least get 1. If they get swept, your season's over, in my opinion. Then you got to go on the road to Alabama. That's a pretty good ball club. And then you finish it off with Ole Miss. So I think that's going to be too little too late. I think that, you know, you're really looking back at the season, you're going to look at the Florida series and the Vanderbilt series, the 2 series that you probably should have won, but you ended up choking it. So I think LSU is going to miss the postseason for the first time since 2011.
I have hope. I have optimism. Wade's got the win shirt on. Jacob's a big Tiger fan. I have optimism that we squeak into the postseason, maybe make some magic happen. But that's just me. Yeah. I'm just an optimistic guy.
Backdoor your way into a 3 seed and get sent out of the way to, like, I don't know, like Florida State and get your butt beat.
Well, hey, at least you're in the postseason, right? State got the series win over Vandy, South Carolina, even though they had the base running debacle, got the series win over Kentucky. Washington series win over Arizona. What's your top 5 right now? College baseball.
It's all SEC pretty much.
And I think Clemson is 6. Let's see.
Kentucky might have fallen out the top 5.
It's A&M 1, Arkansas 2, Tennessee 3, Clemson 4, ECU, the East Carolina.
ECU has been tearing it up.
Number 5. So, yeah, those are, I mean, lock for host for sure. I mean, they would have to, like, fall apart, those teams. And then UC Irvine, too, they're number 9, Florida State 7, Oregon State 6, Kentucky's
8.
10 is Duke. So
yeah. A lot of SEC teams in that top 25. And I don't see a lot of Big Ten teams, Jacob.
It's baseball.
Yeah.
It's baseball.
The Big Ten isn't a baseball conference.
Yeah, that's why they added the West Coast teams.
So, yeah, USC is something.
I'll check it on Penn State. Penn State is 20-19 and 7-11, so pretty much in the same shoes what LSU is.
Yeah, so keep your talking. Keep your talking, Jay.
Jay Johnson says if we were in any other conference, we'd be number 1. Well, Jay, you're getting paid a lot of money to win in the SEC, so figure out how to do it.
Yeah. I have optimism.
Get him, Wade. Get him.
I predict.
Maybe we do need to bring back Bayou Bingo Bias. Wade must have something to say.
I am predicting a series win against Texas A&M. It's my
birthday. I'm predicting that the sky will fall when that happens. There's no way.
But if you like do the math, they have to go like 7-2 or like to get to 14.
They can win the next 2 series, but they'll probably do good to get 1 this weekend.
I think they will get a series win against Texas A&M, and they're gonna get hot. All right. Yeah, they lost to who did we just play? Auburn in game three, right? That was just a pitching debacle in the first inning. Jay Johnson, you're an idiot. Start your best guy, Griffin Herring, okay? Like Wade said, you get paid a lot of money to win baseball games, not to roll out Cade Anderson because he's a freshman.
Well, you also play the shift that costs you like four or five runs.
Stop playing the freaking shift.
I hate the shift. Ban it in every sport that it's in. Ban it. I don't give a crap anymore. The shift is freaking stupid.
It does not work every time. I mean, it's ridiculous, all right? Just play baseball. You got athletes out there in the infield. Let them play baseball. Freaking Texas A&M put four guys in the outfield with Charlie Condon, whatever his name is, came up to bat, and he hit a nuke. You think that worked for you? No, he still hit a home run.
Okay, I feel like we got to give Jacob some Penn State, so I'm going to, like, go all the way back to the NFL draft. So I'm going to ask him, how do you feel about Olufoshanu going to the Jets and Chop Robinson going to the Dolphins?
Olufoshanu is going to do a fantastic job guarding, protecting Aaron Rodgers. And Tua doesn't need him.
He's gonna get hurt again.
Yeah, well, Chop Robinson's gonna be a dog in Miami. Oh, yeah. That's gonna be scary. And then Kalen King's gonna be really good for the Packers too, even though he was their last pick in the draft.
Where did the tight end go? Where did he go?
Oh, God, I don't even know where he went.
I thought he went somewhere like he could start immediately. I can't think of it.
You're really gonna test me now. Oh my gosh.
He's a phony. He doesn't
get out. But I'm naming people from LSU stands over here, Jacob.
All right. Another thing too regarding LSU baseball, let's talk about that. Chet's talking about how they're gonna get hot. The only thing that's gonna be hot is gonna be them when they're standing out in the field because they can't get off of it because they keep giving up run after run after run. I can't watch LSU baseball.
They needed a sweep to keep their postseason and chances alive. And
you got that sweep.
You got to get to 13-14. They're probably getting 11. I think that they get to 11 by the time they get to Hoover.
Well, you beat Auburn and you get the series win.
You struggled against like the two bottom feeders of the SEC.
What I'm saying is they are making it to the tournament because those two teams.
Well, yeah, they'll make it to the SEC tournament, but they'll probably get freaking bounced by the 5 seed.
No, they're going to get hot.
I'm sorry. Like, I know you want me to have optimism, but I've watched too much of this team to have optimism. They are not very good.
If the guy
they are going to lose more games the rest of the season than they are going to win.
They can't hit in timely situations. They literally had bases loaded with like one out. With actually no outs. And how many runs they get? One.
Runners in scoring position is an issue. I don't know.
We might need to bring back Mike Bingelbein so we can rant.
No, I don't. I just last thing I want to say is runners in scoring position is a major issue. Figure it out. I mean, they're trying to bunt people over. They're trying to hit them.
They won up the Braves this week, and the Braves had bases loaded with no outs, and they got zero runs out of that.
Yeah. Well, it happens to us a lot.
So, Tyler, to answer your question about Penn State, a little background to Penn State. So, 8 guys got drafted by Penn State, 2 in the first round. So, that was Fashanu and Chop Robinson, which I thought was early for Chop Robinson. I was like, oh, my God.
I don't think it was that early. Right. I think that was just right.
Caden Wallace is going to be a good piece in New England as offensive lineman. He was in the third round. Adisa Isaac is going to be a great D end in Baltimore. That's a really good place for him because they pretty much breed D linemen and linebackers. 4th round, Theo Johnson, tight end, went to the Giants.
Yep, that's what I was saying because Darren Waller, he's probably going to retire with his old brittle ass.
Yeah, Daquan Hardy, corner going to Buffalo is a good one too.
He's drafted freaking Darren Waller every freaking season.
He also divorced his wife. My conspiracy's right? The Bengals selected Iowa's tight end in the 4th round because he's Iowa's tight end, but he was at Michigan for the first 4 years of his career, and I don't think anybody in the Bengals front office knows that. I think they just took the next Iowa tight end.
See,
they all work out.
How about Matt House drafting LSU players.
I'm not done with it yet.
I mean, to be fair, he is a linebackers coach, but it's still funny.
That's so bad.
Freaking Mason Smith, who didn't have that great of a season.
That was a reach.
And then who else did they get? Jordan Jefferson.
Jefferson, yeah.
I think the surprise for LSU was Mekhi Wingo going so late in the sixth, but I guess he had dealt with injury. I think the talent's there.
I think some of these kids need to learn when you've got people saying you're not going to get drafted high.
I think it should be like the NBA, like where like you get to keep your eligibility in the draft. Like if like say if like you go in the sixth round, you can just go back to college. If
Mason
you have eligibility,
Smith was a projected first round pick at the beginning of the season.
He wasn't ever going to get. Even if he came
made
back,
the right decision. He went in the second round.
The Jaguars reached and he walked out.
Wait, he went in the second round?
Yeah, he went in the second round.
Golly, okay, yeah, it worked out for him. Wingo,
he has he definitely has upside if he stays healthy, but that's if you can say.
All right, NASCAR Neil got the NASCAR Neil segment here, and he's got some news for us before this week's race. There's some other news. Eric Jones, who had the bad wreck last week, announced he has a fractured back. Can't drive a car with a fractured back. He missed this week and is going week by week from now on. Also, the All-Star race later this year, Goodyear is bringing two different tires than a normal one, made similar to the rain tires that were quicker. So, think about that when you're making your NASCAR bets. All right, on to the race. It was announced pre-race that Kevin Harvick will be practicing and qualifying the 5 car for Kyle Larson at the All-Star race, as he will be in Indianapolis qualifying for the Indy 500 and his attempt at the double. The double is when a driver attempts to run the Indy 500 and the Indy car in the morning, and they come out and run the 600 later that night. Talk about a long freaking day. This week at the Monster Mile, also Monster Mile, hit a 3-run home run for LSU, also called the Monster Mile, of Dover, and Stage 1 defending race winner Martin Truex Jr. marches up the lead from 15th. Stage 2, Larson gets to jump on the cycles and pulls away. And during Stage 3, the Monster claims its first victim, and it claims Stenhouse, while the leaders were pitting with helps those who were waiting for a few extra laps. Top three after the caution are Larson, Hamlin, and Truex. All other fast cars, which should be interesting with 72 to go in the race. On the first lap of the restart, a big track later in the pack involving Wallace and Bell. Frontrunner Byron also collected and his day is ended. As the race winds down, Larson starts to reel in Hamlin, but is unable to pull off the pass, and Hamlin wins it all at Dover, making his 54th career win and third this season. Next week, they're on to Kansas, which is some of the best racing in the series, according to NASCAR Neil. Gentlemen, Dallas, I kind of cut you off with the draft part because I was trying to get the Neil. Anything else?
I'm good that you did because I could probably talk about it all day.
Yes. Wade, good work on the Belly Up Draft Show. Always good to see you on there representing the shambles of the New Orleans Saints organization.
Hey, they made it easy.
Yes, they finally good draft. Finally good draft. I guess you just got to get rid of Sean Payton. That's all. Anything else, gentlemen?
Nope. That's all I got.
Well, till next week, we hope everybody watching has a wonderful week. Hit that subscribe, like button, comment who won the draft last week and who your pick is for the NHL Stanley Cup champions, because I don't know.
Do your research.
See y'all next week. Yep, I will do my research.